Welcome to the Connections Podcast, a podcast devoted to how Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo connect to our beloved community. I'm Jack Brennan, your host, Connections at UUSM. Our guest today is Carol Hewen. Carol was raised in a tiny Pennsylvania town called West Pittston, PA, a village really, on the banks of the Susquehanna River. She took many Sunday rides along the river, up the trail, which referred to Sullivan's Trail and the march ordered by General George Washington to General John Sullivan in 1779 to obliterate the indigenous peoples so that the area could be acquired by settlers who were some of her ancestors. Living by the river made her deeply aware of American history and of the compelling spiritual power of rivers themselves. All of the kids were forbidden to go down to the river, and so, of course, that's where they all headed every chance they got. The river spirit flows through Carol yet. She has written a book about her ancestors, so her kids will know where they came from. Her maiden name was Mensch, which has been a goal to live up to, the good person. When she was in high school, her parents had the good sense to move to California, where there was sunshine and opportunity. Her father was a master mechanic, and her mother was an emergency room nurse. Her father was the neighborhood car consultant, and her mother was the neighborhood nurse. They were Presbyterian Christians and lived their spiritual values and were marvelous models of ethical living. Her parents valued education, and they ensured that Carol and her brother graduated from college. It helped that education in California was affordable, almost free. She graduated from San Francisco State and earned her master's degree from the University of San Francisco. She had a lifelong career in education. She taught elementary school and was a reading specialist, and then worked for textbook and software publishing companies. Teaching was satisfying. She loved getting first graders excited about reading and math, and she adored sixth graders' metamorphism from sweet 11-year-olds into 12-year-olds who sprang fangs in January. She had wonderful classes of cheerful kids and only one class that needed an exorcist rather than a teacher. When she got home that year, she had to lie down and collect herself for half an hour. Now her adult kids accuse her of sleeping through their childhood. She tells them that they did a pretty good job of being raised by wolves in the hillside. In college, she fell in love with a gorgeous hunk to whom she has been happily married for many years. He's a private, quiet man who cooks marvelous dinners. Her only culinary skill is baking, and that is pretty much limited to cookies and items with lemon in them, although she claims to have never been able to make lemon bars that are better than those of Roger Jacobs. Carol loves good literature, classical music, art history, gardening, travel, and the commitment to community at UUSM. If you're up a creek, a love wrap and dinner will appear. Carol, welcome to the UUSM Connections podcast. I know that what I read is only the first part of what you sent me in terms of your bio, but for the rest, which focuses on your religious bio and your time at UUSM, I really want to ask you to talk. I'll just ask questions and get out of the way for this next part. Would you tell our listeners about your religious beginnings in the Presbyterian Church?
Well, it was a wonderful experience. In the West Pittston, Pennsylvania Presbyterian Church, I learned the Bible stories in the beginning of theology. It was great.
When did you and the Presbyterian Church part ways?
Well, when it came time for me to be confirmed in the West Pittston Church, in tears, I had to tell our incredibly handsome minister with whom I was in love. Remember, I was 12 at the time, that I couldn't say that I believed in original sin. I couldn't blame Eve for wanting to have knowledge. And I couldn't believe in predestination. And this wisest of men told me that it was good to have doubts, that the Bible stories were symbolic, and that he would help me understand them, and that we would keep talking, and that I could go ahead and get confirmed. I still have the Bible with his signature in it. The church had a marvelous youth group, and so I stayed on until we moved to California. Then I told my parents that I thought church was a big bunch of hooey and that I wasn't going anymore. They were not pleased, but they kept me anyway.
When you and Gordon got married, were you attending a church at that time?
We did. We went to the first Unitarian church in San Francisco that was just gorgeous. And Star King is buried there, and we loved that. I also knew that I had found a religious home. The church was filled every Sunday by the magnetic Reverend Henry Schofield and the magnificent choir and organ. Reverend Schofield later mentored Reverend Laura Hallman, one of my favorite UU ministers.
You mentioned your kids in your bio, two boys, right? Can you tell our listeners about your sons, how they were as kids and what they're doing now?
We had two boys 15 months apart, which seemed like a good idea at the time. We were too dumb and inexperienced to envision two in college at the same time.
Yeah.
But that worked out okay. The boys were great, actually. There were a few challenges during the teenage years, but we kept them anyway. And
parents did for you.
That's correct. They were good models of that. I wasn't the best teenager in the world.
No?
Well, Tim, who is in San Jose, works for a company, MediaKind. And it's been exciting there lately since they just secured a contract to broadcast the Cubs.
Oh, nice. So
there's great excitement there.
Yeah.
Andrew, who's in Sacramento, works as a public affairs manager for the new California Broadband Interconnect project, which is a several billion dollar project. So that's quite exciting.
Right. Wonderful. In spite of the fact that you love California a lot, you ended up going to Syracuse?
We did.
How did you like it there?
When the boys were preschoolers, we went to Syracuse, New York, so Gordon could get his master's degree from the Newhouse School of Communications.
Right.
And that was a great experience. Gordon was born in California, and so he got to experience the East Coast and a spring that really represents the word renaissance. After a Syracuse winter, which is covered in snow from Thanksgiving to May 1st.
Wow.
We were very glad to leave, but his first job was with the PBS station in Milwaukee. The wind off of Lake Michigan almost froze our California toes off. So when Gordon was offered a job as the regional manager for an educational television company, we jumped at the chance to return to the Bay Area.
Yay. While you were raising the kids, did you raise them in church?
Yeah. We tried off and on, but not much because we were both working hard. And it was a challenge to do that. But we traveled and we tried to imbue them with the spirit of spirituality and right and wrong. And our family motto was do the right thing. So it took them a while to figure out how to manage that, but they did. When they were around 30, they figured out. They would say, how do we know what the right thing is? And we would say, well, 95% of the time, you can figure it out. And when you can't, you have us.
Right, right. You mentioned that you traveled. What were some of the places that you traveled to?
When people said, do it while you can, we paid attention. And we traveled all over Europe, and we traveled to Australia, New Zealand. And I did a lot of independent travel to Southeast Asia and just loved it. Vietnam and India were truly amazing.
Tell our listeners more about your career, or maybe careers is more accurate.
We both had jobs that required travel. So it was adventuresome and challenging all over the western region of the United States, including Hawaii and Alaska. I did workshops for teachers in the Alaskan bush country. And once, after 3 days of telling them everything I knew, I came home totally exhausted and very pleased that I had not died at the hands of Ryanair, which had the worst fatality record at the time, or wolves. Can you imagine wolves howling in the distance?
Yeah.
But this experience was offset by lovely days in Hawaii and decompressing on the beach with a hamburger and a gorgeous sunset. Colleagues used to say, oh, Carol, how hard it must be to be away from your home while traveling. And I would say, oh, yes. Yes, it's very difficult. I didn't tell them about the beautiful hotels or the long bubble baths, having quiet dinners alone, not having to confront any household problems. It was very hard.
The sacrifice you made.
Yes.
You've talked about the spiritual aspect of teaching. Say more about that.
There is a spiritual side, and it has to do with ensuring that kids have wonderful days. For some children, school is the best part of their day. And so I always tried hard. With first graders, I could just line them up and say, you had a wonderful day. And when they got home and their mother said, how was school? They would say, I had a wonderful day. It was a little harder with sixth graders, but still, they're only 11. When developing educational materials, the spiritual side there was hoping that you could make some teacher's life better or easier.
How did you ever manage to let go of working?
Well, it was hard.
Yeah.
Because I loved the adrenaline rush. Okay. I loved running for airplanes. I loved getting excited and up for a presentation or a workshop. But I did. I did consulting after I retired. And then little by little, I let go and enjoyed looking for a new challenge, which was UUSM.
Right. So when and how did you find your way to UUSM?
I found UUSM around 2005 when I was ready to make a commitment to a spiritual community. The word religion is a tough one for me because it has the baggage of dogma. So I'm one of those spiritual Unitarian Universalists. Laurel Hallman called me a Luddite, but that's all right. But the principles and purposes speak to my values. It's where I belong.
What was your first role at UUSM?
I fell in love with being a worship associate. I was the worship associate coordinator for the best part of 15 years, and I loved supporting the work of our spiritual leaders. And I loved helping other worship associates be successful. So I often gave reflections and the occasional sermon. My goal was to have the congregation feel a common spiritual connection and float together on a spiritual plane. I have to say that Paul Zawilski was an enormous help. I would just have to look at him and a musical interlude would ensue.
Yes, he's pretty amazing that way. And your reflections still are magical. I love it when you speak.
Thanks.
Didn't you also lead the social justice committee for a long time?
I did under the tutelage of Tom Newman. It was an amazing experience with a group of fine, dedicated activists. We work hard on getting the Affordable Care Act passed, and the congregation support was eye-opening for all of us. Everyone had some family member who had been failed by the healthcare system. So we captured healthcare horror stories with photos and written stories, and Peninsula Interfaith Action sent me to visit our representatives, Diane Feinstein and Jackie Speer, in Washington, D.C. Nice. It was an immense honor and a deeply spiritual, moving experience. We had a coalition at the time that involved the San Mateo County and organizations like the Local Labor Council and many of the churches in the county. So I got to meet many people of other faiths, but we were joined together in this one social justice movement. It was a very rich experience for all of us.
I know that you've done work to dismantle racism and that that work has been really important to you. Can you tell me more about that?
Part of my early coming of age spiritual life was an understanding that racism is evil. I've worked hard to try to understand the nature of racism. And I find that belonging to organizations like NAACP and taking seminars like Beloved Conversations has been helpful. Reading the gorgeous prose of Isabel Wilkerson and Cast is a revealing experience, as is the work of Toni Morrison and others. So I have worked on racism in myself and in our communities for most of my life.
Did you ever serve on the Board of Trustees?
Oh, interesting that you should ask. My first service was as secretary under Michael Dungeon, and so I learned a lot under his care. And later, during some tough times, I served on the board as ministers came and went. And interims, so we had some very interesting interims that disappointed, I have to say. And congregants even left with hurt feelings. But still, we learned from our mistakes and remained a loving congregation. And the fact that visitors say that they can feel that, I think, is something for us to be very proud of. I also served on a transition team when Reverend Sarah Moldenhauser Salazar was here. And that was also illuminating. It was fun to make decisions. Our holiday decoration plan was to have everybody bring a poinsettia. And the sanctuary was filled with red and green to overflowing, just like the love that we feel for each other.
And you continue to be really involved at UUSM, right? You're on CDTF, Campus Development Task Force, that's what that stands for. And you're on the facilities team, and you participated in the coming of age program this last year.
I served on the CDTF for 3 years as their recorder and helped as I could. I tried to help the stalwarts that have kept the remodeling project going through very challenging times. Yes. Who would have thought that we would experience a pandemic? And now I help out with the facilities team, and this year I enjoyed participating in the Coming of Age program with Sylvie Olson as my mentee.
Yes.
So that was quite marvelous.
You've done so much with UUSM over the years. What have you learned from our spiritual leaders?
I think the most important thing is that they taught me to imbue my spiritual practices with intentionality and to have a meditative moment before my undertaking. Social justice awareness led me to participate in Faith in Action, Homework Central, and now the Assistance League of San Mateo. And no matter where I go, I mention the Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo and get praise heaped on us for our participation in local social justice efforts. And I hope that will continue. But it's the intentionality behind your spiritual practices that has changed my life.
One more question before we get to the quick hitters. How long have you and Gordon been married?
We'll be married for 63 years on August 20th, which is just around the corner. And it's been quite a wonderful 63 years. And I look forward to the future, no matter what.
In fact, this episode drops Sunday, which is the August.
Oh my gosh, how wonderful.
Yeah. And how have you managed to be married to one man for 63 years?
I think the most important thing is we set some ground rules. For example, no dating anyone else.
Fair.
Never.
Fair. Yeah.
There's no leaving. Good. If you do leave, you must take the children. All expenditures over $100 need to be discussed. Oh. And we have now raised the limit.
Sure, sure. Inflation and all that. What's your advice to newlyweds?
Fight fair. Mm. Don't dredge up things that happened in the past. Deal with the issue at hand and tell the truth, even if it's difficult. And understand that things change. Be ready to adapt and love the socks off each other.
Oh, man, that's some great advice. All right, Carol, we are going to wrap this up with some quick hitters. I'll ask a quick question and you just give me an answer. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Hey, what keeps you grounded at UUSM?
A sense of love and community, of course, but I love our incredible reach. The community sees us as a leader in social justice. Our Homework Central families write to their relatives about the support their children are getting. The families who come to the Assistance League store purchase items to send all around the world. I love being an education partner for the children in the Philippines. And the partner church fills me with hope. Mm-hmm. This little church does constant good around the world, which for me offsets the evil that seems so prevalent right now.
Just as important, what's the best flavor of ice cream?
For me, that would have to be Trader Joe's Coffee Bean Blast ice cream.
Wow. Okay. I have never had that, but I'm not a coffee person. So. But I'll leave you to it. If you could only take a few composers with you to an island, who would they be?
They'd have to be Bach and Mozart.
Sure.
But maybe Schubert and Schumann and Chopin, because they can always make me cry.
What is the most used app on your phone?
It would have to be Gmail. But I also love the KDFC classical music station.
What's the best advice you've ever gotten?
Try to keep your mouth shut and eat your vegetables, literally and symbolically.
I want that cross-stitched on a pillow. What is the best advice you've ever given someone else?
Hold on. Have a little Jack Daniels on the rocks. It'll get better. The depression will lift. I will call you tomorrow.
What are you reading right now?
I've just finished Horse by Gwendolyn Brooks, who manages to combine Civil War history, horse training, done mostly by gifted slaves, and art history. There were painters who traveled to horse country to paint horses for wealthy owners. And if all goes well, I'm going to Japan in September with my granddaughter. So I'm reading Japanese literature. I just finished Strange Weather in Tokyo, which is a love story by Hiromi Kawakami.
Lovely. What's the best thing to do on a Sunday afternoon?
Swim and take a nap.
I love that answer. What's the best movie of all time?
I love movies about human beings being tested, plus unintended consequences. And war movies, I think, show men and some women tested to the utmost. So I would have to choose Bridge on the River Kwai. The men try to do the right thing, but the question is, what is the right thing? There's a catastrophic ending, of course, and they all die. But that's the ending for all of us.
What smells better than anything else?
Well, there's coffee in the morning and caramelized onions in the evening. And night blooming jasmine at night.
Wow. What's the best local charity?
I would have to say after UUSM, it's the Assistance League of San Mateo.
Tell me.
I work at the Turnstile Store, which is an amazing piece of community contribution. People give us donations. And we price them at amazingly realistic prices, and people buy them. There are treasure hunters from the community, but they're mostly people who must shop there. But I see poor people buying things to send to their relatives who are in worse shape than they are. And it moves me to tears often. It's one of my deepest spiritual practices right now, working there. And then we give all the money away. And Homework Central is one of the recipients.
What's the best religion?
The best religion is the one that gets you through the night, literally and symbolically.
This has been such a privilege. I am blown away by your answers to these questions. So much thought and so much love and so much goodness.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And thanks to our listeners. Keep making connections.